How is the Lutheran teaching about the Lord's Supper distinct from other Christian confessions? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Does the president have the authority to use a weaponized drone to kill an American not engaged on combat on American soil? The answer to that question is no. That Americans could be killed in a cafe in San Francisco or in a restaurant in Houston or at their home in Bowling Green, Kentucky is an abomination. It is something that should not and cannot be tolerated in our country. No American should be killed by a drone on American soil without first being charged with a crime, without first being found to be guilty by a court.
That's Senator Rand Paul. He was speaking on the Senate floor during a filibuster last night that had the attention of a lot of the country. People tuning into C-SPAN 2 to watch what they never watch, which is floor debate, the U.S. Senate, and he held the floor for probably close to 10 hours or more. He's talking about the use of drones, those unmanned aerial vehicles, against U.S. citizens. Now, the real question for the Christian is the ethics of the thing, right? We don't find drones in the Bible, contrary to what any end times prognosticators might say. So what does Scripture have to say about this method of making war? The more specific question that the senators were dealing with last night, this method of making war within the boundaries of the U.S. possibility. Well, what does the Bible have to say? It's audio open lines, issues, etc. for the remainder of this hour. That means we're going to be playing a little bit piece by piece of the PBS Religion and Ethics Newsweekly story on the ethics of drones, and I want your reaction. You can react, questions, comments, your thoughts. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, talking about the ethics of drones this afternoon on Issues Etc. audio open lines, 1-877-623-6943. Now, you can email us with questions or comments, your reaction as well. Include your city and state, if you would. That does us a big favor. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can also leave a reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We've left some space there in connection with that PBS Religion and Ethics News weekly piece that we posted for you to leave your reaction on the ethics of drones, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Very recently, PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly took up the subject of drones and the ethics of this way of making warfare.
Drones are increasingly becoming some of the most valuable weapons in America's arsenal.
This is going to save someone's life today.
Unmanned aircraft such as the Predator and the Reaper can hover over remote areas and do surveillance for hours, even days. Their operators are often in places as far away as Nevada or Virginia. And the drones can release missiles or bombs with no risk to those operators. Experts say within 20 years, the vast majority of America's fighting aircraft will likely be pilotless. The use of drones may be strategic, but is it moral?
If you believe that a society has a duty to reduce unnecessary risk to its combatants, then these systems do that. So that would be actually one moral obligation. And then also the state has an obligation to effectively and efficiently defend its citizens, and these systems are effective and efficient.
Now, we got a question for you about the use of drones here on Issues Etc. What are the ethics of it? Part of the case that's been made is that it saves lives because there are no operators in the field of battle or near the field of battle in this case. They can gather information. They can deliver an arsenal of weapons. They can take out buildings, people, installations, do all the things that warfare ordinarily does, all while being manned remotely through these drones. What do you make of it? I want your reaction to the ethics of drones. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, the 7th of March. Talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
To accept killing far from the situation of battlefields where there is an understanding of necessity is really ethically troubling for many of us.
America's use of remotely piloted aircraft or drones has increased dramatically since President Obama took office. Both the military and the CIA use them in combat operations and counterterrorism missions. Drones have been engaged in lethal operations in at least six countries: Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, and Libya.
Retired Lieutenant General David Deptula oversaw the U.S. Air Force's drone program from 2006 until last year. He says remotely piloted aircraft achieve a moral good.
The precision, the persistence, and the accuracy that remotely piloted aircraft bring to the equation actually enhance our ability to accomplish our objectives while minimizing loss of life.
Yale Law School professor Stephen Carter, author of the book The Violence of Peace, agrees that minimizing risk to U.S. troops is a worthy goal. But he says it also has moral implications that should not be ignored.
When America has troops on the ground and people are dying as well as killing, it's on the news every day. When we're using standoff bombing, when we're using missiles that kill but place no risk, it fades from the nation's consciousness. That means it's easier to fight, which means it's more likely that we'll fight.
Well, that's a good point that he makes there. That's Professor Stephen Carter from the Yale Law School. You don't see it on television. Haven't we seen, I mean, speaking of the ethics of drones, haven't we seen over the protracted military engagements that we've had as a nation in the last 10 or 15 years, when it's on television every night, when we see actual fighting, when we see the loss of life, when we are being exposed to it every night, we tend to have less toleration for it. Now, nobody likes war. It costs money and it takes lives. So do you think he has a point that if we do standoff bombing or drone attacks or any of the other remote ways of making warfare, we are actually encouraging ourselves as a nation to go to more war more readily or to stay at war longer? What do you think? The ethics of drones, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. I want to hear from you. Do you think that drone warfare is ethical? Setting aside the question, the specific question that the nation's been dealing with over the last 24 hours of whether or not these drones ought to be flying our skies inside our airspace, looking at us or targeting us, as some people say they might be used. What do you make of the ethics of drone warfare? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc.
Notre Dame professor of international law Mary Ellen O'Connell worries that the growing availability of unmanned aerial systems lowers political and psychological barriers to killing.
These sleek, attractive, small glider-like planes fly out of their hangar and slip in to a village somewhere and drop a bomb. That seems so easy to do. And on the screen, it doesn't look any different than the video game that the soldier plays later at her home.
Are these people arguing that, you know, we should only fight if you are exposed to threats and putting your life at risk? That's silly. I think it's ill-founded.
All right, going into this break is a great time for you to call with your thoughts on the ethics of drone warfare. We have it. It is now considered a major part of the U.S. arsenal, how we do war abroad. The question about how we do war here is another one. But is it ethical? You don't put anyone at risk. It's a piece of equipment. It can be lost. It costs a little money, but it can be replaced. People don't die except for the enemy, and we can do it all from the safety of a control room. 1-877-623-6943. This break is a great time to call, and we're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, March the 7th, The Ethics of Drone Warfare. And we'll hear more from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly and from some other viewpoints on drone warfare to get your thoughts going. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave your question, your comment, or your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. More Issues Etc. audio open lines on the ethics of drone warfare right after this.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Examining Planned Parenthood's actual services raises questions about its commitment to women's health.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It seems Planned Parenthood had a record year last year. Almost 340,000 abortions were carried out by the business, up over 10,000 from the year before. Yet other services touted as part of a commitment to women's health dropped significantly. Take mammograms, which are not even offered by Planned Parenthood clinics. Why? Mammograms cost less than $90. Abortions run up to $900. Looks like the profit margin for services that really help women is just too small for the abortion giant.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
We're talking about the ethics of drone warfare. Of course, it's been pushed into the national consciousness by the recent Senate filibuster over whether or not these drones can be used against American citizens not engaged in combat inside the borders of the U.S. Of course, it's possible for that to happen because these drones can go just about anywhere that we send them. And of course, there's no risk to anybody who's operating them because it's all very, very remote. We see this in the movies about how there's a drone strike here or there, the science fiction aspect of it. Well, it's real, and it is how we are doing a lot of our warfare nowadays. It does save lives. Only equipment is risked. Now, what if our What if our enemies started doing it against us? What if we had enemy drones over our skies? Would you then begin to question whether or not it is an ethical way to carry out combat and warfare? I'm not talking about our own drones over our skies. I'm talking about one of our enemies decided to put their drones over us, because we certainly have ours over theirs. 1-877-623-6943. Talk about the ethics of drone warfare on this Thursday afternoon, March the 7th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or send us a tweet @issuesetc. Or visit our Facebook fan page. We've left space for your reaction there. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, this is an important question for the American population to consider all its aspects. We're going to be taking up even more important questions, believe it or not, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference coming up this summer. It's the 14th and the 15th of June. That's a Friday and a Saturday, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Part of our way of celebrating with our listeners our fifth anniversary of returning to the air. Also, something that's long overdue. We'll be bringing Dr. Rod Rosenblatt in from the White Horse Inn to make the case for Christ alone, for make the case against pietism. Pastor Will Whedon, one of our regular guests, will be there making the case for classical Christian worship. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be making a case against postmodernism in the church, and more at our Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 14th, Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. You can register online at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Look for the logo for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. And we hope to see you there. You can register online, and we've already got a big handful of people registering. And there's at this point, there's no limit to registration, but we certainly encourage you to do so early. Issuesetc.org. You can also call Craig, get more information, and register. 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. Let's go to the phones and see what Jan has to say. She's calling from Atlanta. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. It is a very, very grave ethical question. But I'm thinking about Christ came to fulfill our civil and ceremonial laws so that we are bound by the moral law. I was looking at the United States military oath, and there are actually two of them, the commissioning oath and the enlistment oath. And both of them speak to protecting the United States and from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. I think we make a mistake when we cheapen our citizenship by going from dissent to sedition, and not expecting that there be a consequence for that. I'm looking at a couple of passages that I think speak to the moral law. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20, it says, "But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning." I'm afraid that a drone may monitor my movements because I've been identified as a dissident. But hopefully I've counted that cost and recognized that being one of the governed and having real concerns about how that government is executed, that should not deter me from the dissent. If I'm wrong, then I should, you know, be a little more reserved about what I'm thinking and doing.
Jan, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Atlanta. Now, what about the rest of you? The concerns here, of course, that are raised most recently are about drones in American skies. Either they're used to gather information, which is what they can do. They're also used to, well, let's put it bluntly, to kill people. Now, she raises the question of whether or not someone who is engaged in sedition, and sedition is a crime, by the way. I don't know how we got the idea that sedition shouldn't be a crime in the United States, but it certainly is. People engage in sedition or terrorist acts or acts against the United States within the borders of the United States, whether or not drone warfare that we do elsewhere without any real moral compunction, right, could be carried out here by the U.S. government. That's what's got people riled up right now. What about drone warfare, period? Is it an ethical way of doing war? Laying aside the kind of extreme view that there's no morality in war, that there's no immoral way of making war, where on the side of the line of morality or immorality does drone warfare fall? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Chris is waiting in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Hi, Chris.
Yes, Pastor. I believe that drone warfare is immoral and barbaric. There have been 176 children killed by and collateral damage in Pakistan alone.
Chris, thank you very much. That's one of the concerns here, right? Because this kind of remote warfare does tend to be more indiscriminate in who it kills. Errors more easily made. They're always easily made in the fog of war. And let's just accept that as a fact of making war, even in our modern precision warfare age. It's much easier to see whether or not you're shooting at a child who's unarmed when you're a soldier on the ground than if you are a soldier sitting in a control room someplace monitoring that situation from afar. You might be able to see who's on the ground. I wonder, does it change your mindset when you're removed from that situation where you don't actually have to pull the trigger on the person themselves, but you're kind of removed remotely? Does it change the way someone might think about whether or not to take that life? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Back to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, their feature on the ethics of drones.
Edward Barrett is Director of Strategy and Research at the U.S. Naval Academy's Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership. He says, in fact, high-tech sensors on the drones give operators a very detailed picture of what they are doing.
So they're operating from afar, but their senses are very close to the situation. They see very clearly the battle damage that they're doing, and therefore they know they're not playing a video game.
He says the distance allows operators to make moral decisions about the use of force.
A soldier in the situation is scared and possibly hasty in deciding what to do and acting, and possibly even angry. Whereas you have an operator who's not threatened can use tighter rules of engagement and is not going to be fearful, and therefore it's going to have a much cooler head.
Deptula says much ethical oversight surrounds the U.S. military's use of drones.
You have many, many more sets of eyes that are watching what's going on, and many, many more people in the decision loop in terms of employing lethal ordnance if, in fact, that is going to be applied.
O'Connell says she supports the use of drones in combat situations like Afghanistan, but she argues their use in non-combat settings such as Pakistan is morally and legally wrong.
International law says that on a battlefield in which armed groups are engaged in organized armed fighting, we have a presumption of necessity that persons may be killed without warning in that situation. I mean, you can ask any member of the United States Armed Forces, where are we engaged in combat today? And they will all tell you Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan. They will not tell you Pakistan.
All right. Now, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? I mentioned before we heard that little piece that, well, maybe the mindset of the operator of the drone, since he's removed from the situation, he's less discriminate about how he uses the ordnance. The argument being made there was, well, you know, the person on the ground who's got their trigger, their finger on the trigger of a gun, they might be fearful. They might be hasty. They might be angry. You can be more dispassionate if you are remote and there are more people in the loop. There are more people watching what's going on. There certainly are. Maybe that's something to consider. Is drone warfare not a morally questionable way of carrying out warfare? Is it a morally superior way of carrying out warfare than actually putting a gun in the hand of a soldier and telling him to go engage the enemy close up? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. on this Thursday afternoon, March the 7th. The morality and the ethics of drone warfare. For your reaction, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll get to some of your reactions on the other side of the break, and we'll hear the rest of PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on the ethics of drones. John in Colorado says, drones violate due process and invade privacy. Very Orwellian. We'll take that up on the other side of the break. And more reaction from you on the ethics of drones. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at clcc.org, clcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in program on this Thursday afternoon. It's audio open lines. We're asking the question and getting your reaction to the ethics of drone warfare, the ethics of using these remote aerial vehicles that can go, they can hover, they can watch, they can observe, they can gather information, and they can deliver serious killing power. There's no two ways about it. Now, we've been entertaining the question as a nation over the last 24 hours because of the questions raised on the floor of the Senate as whether or not the current administration will or will not use these drones in our airspace on American citizens who mean the country harm. What about drone warfare, period? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Now, before the break, John in Colorado said that drones violate due process and invade privacy. Well, if they can see you with an expectation of privacy, like in your home, I don't know if they can actually do that. Due process? Well, due process exists within the borders of our country. Outside the borders of our country, when we're doing war, I don't think there's any such thing as due process. So what about that? What about drone warfare outside the borders of our country? Michael in Strasburg, Illinois says, isn't this the same discussion humanity had at the invention of knives, swords, spears, archery, cannons, long rifles, self-prepared propelled torpedoes, and short-range, then long-range intercontinental rocket-powered missiles? The underlying moral and ethical questions have not changed just because the technology has moved the person being killed further from our fingertips. I think the story would have been a lot better if it would have been a general ethics of combat story rather than trying to tie in a particular technological advancement. One question that was raised, however, that would delve into a new moral argumentation is Professor Barrett's point about autonomous lethal systems. Ethics is a human equation to solve. You cannot program an ethics logarithm into a computer or have it determine the moral outcome. A computer cannot feel remorse or repentance when an error is made and correct the algorithm to avoid that error in the future. Whatever the technology, the ethical decision to engage or not must come from a living, thinking human being. Michael, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Strasburg, Illinois. Let's see what Damien in Iowa has to say. Hi, Damien.
Yeah, hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make sure that this discussion, if we're talking about in the, within the United States, if this is about drone strikes against citizens.
Well, I mean, strictly speaking, the piece that we're working from is about drone strikes against enemies in their territory rather than citizens in our territory. What are your thoughts on either of those?
Well, if it's a citizen, whether they're abroad or within the United States, I think the call from Colorado nailed it in terms of a violation of due process, because whatever happened to the right to a trial? When you get into having a war on an ism like terrorism, it's not the same as a war against a defined nation and the nation's citizens or armies. So I don't see how anyone can justify whether someone's guilty of terrorism, sedition, what have you, as a citizen of this country, how they can be basically assassinated, whether it's military or civil authorities, without due process and trial to determine guilt properly. I don't see how we can even contemplate a drone execution.
Well, let me ask you
assassination.
This. Let me ask you this in that vein before I let you go here, Damien. I think that the scenario that's being proposed or contemplated is one of an emergency where, albeit a citizen of the United States, is on the verge of carrying out some sort of terrorist act, some sort of destructive act. And this is the scenario I think they're contemplating. The only way to stop them at that point is to use a drone. The quickest,
right,
only way to stop them is to use a drone. And they're saying we can't rule out that possibility. If we have time, we'll send in the police or the National Guard, whoever, to actually apprehend them. But if it's that or stop 9/11, if it's a citizen, we have to contemplate the possibility. What do you make of that?
Well, if it's someone in the act, caught in the act of, about to kill somebody, then I would see it as no different than a law enforcement officer using a gun in self-defense or to protect an innocent. In that case, I think that's okay. But if we're talking about a situation where someone who is a U.S. citizen here in the country who has been identified but not in the act of committing a crime, that's the sort of thing that I think is ridiculous to think that we could use a drone to, I think that would be more of an assassination than it would be anything else. There has to be, that person needs to be apprehended and brought in and tried, and then electric chair, what have you. I don't have any problem with capital punishment if the crime is of that sort.
Damien, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Iowa. Let's see what Scott has to say. He listens in Altamont, Illinois. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Pastor. I think we're overcomplicating this discussion a little bit, much like abortion activists overcomplicate the nature of the unborn. We know that the unborn is a human life and that the only difference between the unborn and the born is the address. There's no talk of personhood or humanity or autonomy. That's a baby. That's a human baby. So why are we overcomplicating the location of a pilot flying an aircraft? It's a plane that does military things in the name of government, just like any other military plane. If you're ordering a strike with an unmanned drone, it's like launching an unmanned missile into enemy territory. Perhaps it just does the job of killing people and breaking stuff better. Does that mean we get indiscriminate about how we launch our missiles or drop our bombs? No. So do we need to fly missions in the U.S. borders? Well, I think at that point we need to start asking ourselves a bigger question, such as, what do you do with an uncivilized society with high technology?
Scott, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Altamont. Dan in Woodstock, Illinois says, drones are a weapon of war. The ethics of drones are no different than the ethics of a B-52 bomber, a B-2 bomber, any other weapon of war. An enemy ground combatant never hears a conventional B-52 bomb strike either. Specifically, drones minimize the loss of American airmen while greatly increasing the effectiveness of an airstrike with surgical precision, thereby greatly reducing the risk of collateral damage to non-combatants. The real underlying issue is the ethics of war against an underground nationless terrorist organization that permeates national boundaries without any identifiable structure or uniform. Do we treat terrorists like criminals with due process? Interesting. Do we treat criminals like terrorists like criminals with due process entitlements or enemy combatants outside the Geneva Convention? Drones are not the issue. Dan, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Woodstock, Illinois. Peter in St. Louis says, as with all issues of warfare, the question of just war comes into play. Certainly in our fallen world, a perfectly just war may be impossible. I'd argue that World War II came close, but still fell short of the classic qualifications, in particular proportionality. As this pertains to the issue of drones, would they fit these qualifications? What about mutually assured destruction? If we are going in to take out the life of the enemy, shouldn't there be some risk to our own troops as well? I know that would sound extremely controversial, even unpatriotic, but that's a consideration of the use of weaponry in just warfare. No one wants our troops to be wounded, but in all honesty, is the use of drones really fair? Perhaps we should take a step back and really examine the question. And Karen in California says, the point is that American citizens on American territory cannot constitutionally be deprived of due process. Use of drones ends up making the president judge, jury, and executioner without the victim ever having the opportunity of presenting any defense. And no, I do not trust the government, which has routinely sanctioned immoral, unethical, and even blatantly illegal acts in the past. Of course, they will abuse the power once they get it. Of course, the question there is, in that one single instance of an emergency where it may be a U.S. citizen who cannot be stopped by other means, they're flying their plane into another building in New York City. They're a U.S. citizen. We know it. We've got a drone. Do we try and stop them and arrest them, or do we bring them down? That's the question that the nation is struggling with. Of course, the nation always will struggle with. Paul says, parsing through the rhetoric, there are really two drone debates in America. The first is a continuation and amplification of domestic and international debate that began shortly after September 11, 2001. Is our fight against Al-Qaeda a war or merely a long, complex police operation? Second, the second debate is less over tactics and more over trust. There are many Americans who fully endorse the concept of war against Al-Qaeda, but simply do not want to see the government they mistrust abuse its war powers to create dangerous precedents for killing the innocent or the disfavored. Paul, thank you very much for your thoughts as well. We live in a very broken world where it is impossible to keep our hands clean, not only in war, but, as we're discovering, even in trying with the best intentions to do what the government's supposed to do basically, right? Protect its own citizens. But that's what I was thinking of last night. I was thinking on both sides of this debate, our people, disagree with me if you want to, but on both sides of this debate are people who want to protect the American citizenry. They disagree about how that protection ought to be carried out. You see, the government's basic function is to carry out protection of its people. But in a fallen world, that never happens in an ethically clean, morally pure way. It simply cannot. The Issues, Etc. book of the month is called Lutheranism 101. We bring it to you for March because we are approaching big time for the Lord's Supper, and that's a particular subject of this book, Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. It's from Concordia Publishing House, and you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call and order Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. It's a great primer. It's a great in-depth study of the doctrines of the Lord's Supper as delivered in Holy Scripture. CPH's toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Dan Pazika about African-American Lutheranism, and we'll also discuss Christians and vocation with Pastor Dan Freeman and Gene White. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.